Madum Mesaprim Liladim as Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why exactly do we tell our children the stories of Yitzias Mitzrayim? So on the pasuk of Yigadet Olavincha, Belel HaSeder Mesaprim Anu Liladeno Harba Sipurim. On the night of Seder, we tell our children many, many stories, Bisvasim, in their own language, Ulfi Avanasim, and according to their understanding, Utfisasim, and their ability to comprehend. And what do we say? Paro halach in pajama be'emtza laila. Paro went with his pajamas in the middle of the night. L'chapes is Meshra Abenu, to look for Meshra Abenu. V'kulam tzachaku al Paro. Everybody's laughing at Paro. That's the way that we tell over the story to our children. Obviously, that might not be historically accurate, but it doesn't really matter that much, because we're trying to relay certain narratives to our children in amusing fashion. Ha'aba, Aymer Liladoi, Hakatan, Bipanim Zayarais, Yankala, Boy Tishma Sipur. Yankala, come in and hear a story. Haisa Makis Arev, Higia Lasham Hamain Arayas, Daivim, Ukushari, Ratsalutvaisa Mitzri, Ma'asa Mitzri, when the lions and the bears were chasing after the Egyptians during Makas Arev, so, and the lion wanted to chap the Mitzri, what did the Mitzri do? Tarak es hadeles v'nalei sa immanel. He locked the door with a lock, and so the lion couldn't get in. Ma'asa HaKadosh Baruch, what did Hashem do? Shalachaya hanikra silinus. There's a certain animal that's called Silinus, Imyad Aruka. It has a very, very long hand, like a very thin, long hand. Hushalach es yada mitachas hadeles, hupasach esa mibifnim. And it's sort of like Flat Stanley, I guess. It went under the door, and then it reached up, and it was able to open the door, pick the lock. Va'oz haryei nechnas v'tarfas ha-mitzri. These are the stories that we tell over to our children on Seder night in a very amusing fashion. Vashela nish'eles, and the question must be asked, l'shema misapim eskolza liyelet, ma yatzla misipur mel, what do they get out of this? I mean, it's just story time? Is that the point of Seder night? It's to keep them awake, to keep them interested. What are we doing over here? What's the aimek hadavar in telling over these types of stories to our children on Seder night? What do they accomplish? Ela shel sipurim balayla hazeh yeshnai meser echad. There's one message in all of these stories that we're telling. There's one point that has to be accomplished on Seder night. And what's the takeaway for the child? Yitzias Mitzrayim haisa bebechinas haleida shel Am Yisrael. Yitzias Mitzrayim was the birth of Klal Yisrael. It was the night that we were born as a nation. Until now, we were slaves and we were not united really in a formal way. Yitzias Mitzrayim, we left as one Am, going to Har Sinai to accept the Torah as the Rabbeinu Shlom's Am HaNivchar. So the night of Pesach was really the night that we became the Am HaNivchar. We became a nation on the night of Seder. Kaviyachol. The truth is that every single year on Seder night, we again are Noilad Mechadish, we're again reborn, renewed. That's the way all Yom Tovim go. Yom Tovim are they're not a linear life, and Jewish history is hardly a linear experiment. It's not something that we are just reminiscing and it's not a remembrance of what happened thousands of years ago, but we're actually like a Ferris wheel going around and around, the Magal Hashana, the circle of time, the circle of life. And when Tesvav Nisan arrives, it sort of is like goes back to where it started. Every spot on the Ferris wheel is another day of the year, and every day of the year is really shayach to the original days that we experience. So Tesvav Nisan, we go. It's not a what's the word I'm looking for? The It's not something that we do to commemorate. It's not a commemoration of what happened, but we're actually redoing what happened. We're coming back into the same energy zone and into the same area of time that we were in originally. So when we come back, when we say that it's a Zman Gulasenu, it's not just a figurative way of speaking. It is Zman Gulasenu. This patch of time of Pesach is actually the time that we re-enter the zone of Geula. Just like they did back then, we are doing it in our own way. Whatever it means that we need our personal Geula, we're asking for Mashiach to come. Any Geula that we need, it's Zman Gulasenu. We are zeichet to a lot of internal geulas during the Pesach Zman. And the same thing is true with every Zman Simchasenu, Sukkos. We're going back out of, into our Sukkos, that Sukkos Mamish, the Sukkos of Anani HaKavod. We revisit the same place on the Ferris wheel that we were there, that we were at originally. So as we come back, like this year, Seder night, we're going to be coming back to being reborn as we were on the original Seder night. Nekudas hayados shabanu mischadeshes. And what that means is that the spark of Yiddishkeit is reignited again. V'arei echad hadvarim shemafriyim lanu zu hatchusha hativis hayim be'emes ichbas labarek halaylamim eich ani mevarech, eich ani mispalal, ve'ech ani mekayim mitzvahs. Im ani balak lebeis haknesses chamesh dakos mukdam ay chamesh dakos meuchar hayim zemala omerid mashu klap of Yisrael. This is the $64,000 question that any thinking person considers. And hopefully it doesn't rock their world too much, but it's a pretty deep philosophical question that a person might have. Listen, I'm a little speck in the universe. I mean, in my own world, I'm huge. You know, when I look in the mirror, I look at, a chash of a person's looking back at me. But in the big scheme of things, am I really chashuv to the Rabbeinu Shlom? The Rabbeinu Shlom has billions of people to worry about on planet Earth. He's got all the cosmos. He's got all of the everything, the Shadim, and he's got the Malachim, and he's got a trillion different things, kaviyachal, to orchestrate. I'm just a little nothing. What am I? I'm a speck of dust. Does it really matter what I do and if I'm so medak? Does it matter if I get a $35 esrog or a $45 esrog? Does it matter if I use Shemen Zayah Zach, the more expensive olive oil on Hanukkah or not? Does God really care what type of sukkah I have, if I have a canvas sukkah, if I have a wood sukkah, what kind of slach I'm using, if my hadasim are meshuloshim, rubai or kulai or chazanish? Do these things matter? Does God really, really care? Now, people that are Kaifrim, they will unequivocally say, no, he doesn't, and the whole thing is an exercise in foolishness, and you guys are all crazy, and they leave it at that. But even us who do these things, sometimes, we might have like a nagging conscience and saying like, does God really care? At the end of the day, does he really, really care about what type of hechsher, if I have a triangle K instead of an OU, or an OU and not a chassidish shechrit, or if I'm makbin on chadash, or if I'm makbin on chalv Yisrael, or I'm not? Doesn't matter in the big picture. Does it really, really matter in general to the Rabbeinu Shlom? These are questions that might bother us on a bad day. L'chein anu mesaprim l'yelet es sipri tzitzim. And that's why, because this is such a nagging question that everybody might have, and it's not just adults that have it, it's children that have it also. If you ever speak to children, sometimes they also are sometimes skeptical about these things, and they don't believe everything, that this is so important or that's so important. It's so important to come on time to davening, and as long as you come and as long as you're basically a good guy, like, let's not get neurotic about all these little things, because it's not such a big deal in their minds. Comes along Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we have to tell our children Shameser HaMerkazi Shabayhu, the central theme of Seder night and Yetzias Mitzrayim is Kasher Mitzri Asa Ra Lecha Ayliyelad Kamecha, that when an Egyptian did bad to you or to a child like you, Hashem Yisbarach Shu Ein Saif, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Ein Saif, Barei Kol HaElamim, He is the creator of everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the Ein Saif, He's eternal, He's omnipotent, He's everything. Kaviyachol Ibeid Es HaEshtainos, Hu Tofes Es HaMitzrim, This Alol Bahem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu like lost it when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that we were being oppressed, that we were being abused. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Ein Saif, he didn't just sit back and say, it doesn't matter. He went and he exacted revenge. He made ironic twists against them. Loirak Eser Makis, El Chamishim Makis, Masayim Makis, Masayim Chamishim Makis, all the different makas that are discussed, debated in the Haggadah, how many makas there were exactly, was it 10, was it 50, 200, 250, why all these makas, why all of this exact punishment that the Rabbeinu Shalom is performing against the Mitzrim? Because the one takeaway is, ki ichbas loy sha'aysim l'chara, it bothers HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you are maltreated. It bothers him. He doesn't look at ourselves at us as little specks of dust that don't count and we're just numbers. Every yid that had any agony, any grief, any pain that was caused by the Mitzrim, the Rabbeinu Shalom got very agitated, Kaviyachol, and he made sure to get back at every single Mitzri because it mattered to him that we were upset and that we were being subjugated to such torment. Mimela, ichbas legam shetaged meidani yafe. Therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu notices all that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that's going on with us, with me, and with you, and every single thing in Mitzrayim was avenged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because He cares, how does that apply to me today in 2020? Very simple. Obviously, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so conscientious of everything that's going on with each and every one of us, that means that he does notice everything, he does care about everything, things are meaningful to him, we're relevant to him in a very extreme way, and so therefore everything that I do has to be up to snuff. I have to say Maidani with Kavani because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does know. It's not like, okay, big deal, I forgot Maidani. Does God really care? He probably gets it from 50,000 other people this morning in New York. It's fine, he's good. Or do you say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at me. I am very important to him. And I have to say Maida'ani. I can't forget to say Maida'ani because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares. He does care. This is the answer to that philosophical quandary that people go through. Like, does God care? The answer, the resounding answer that Seder night affords us is that yes, he does care. He cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about me. And every little thing that we do or we don't do is noticed. It's noticed. It's an amazing thing. So therefore, when we say Maidani nicely, we get noticed. V'kasha'atayim Maidani yafeh b'yir kalam misragish kaviyachol. He is touched, he is moved. V'chol tzva shamayim shari b'simcha. All the heavenly hosts are dancing, they're happy with our Maidani. V'kasher einchayim Maidani kreim. When you don't say Maidani, kol ha-shamayim u'shmei ha-shamayim kol malachim b'ichim. Everybody's crying. Can you imagine? So many times we, let's say we have a drink and, we make a shahakol, hopefully, and then what happens? How many times do we neglect to say Bar Nefashos or an Alamichya or bench? And we said, no, all right, listen, next time I'll get it. I'll do it next time. It happens, right? It never happens. You're in a, whatever, you're eating some cookies and you have to run to the next class. And before you know, you think back, well, I don't think I made an alamichya. I don't think I bench. I don't think I, I forgot to say the shir shal yayim this morning. And you think, all right, catch it next day. Catch it next time I drink, next time. To you, it might not be a big deal, but to the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. HaKadosh Baruch was like, what happened to his benching? What happened to his, he forgot about Nefashis again? And like, if we would know how chashev we are to the Rebbe. This shir is not for us to all get neurotic about everything, but it's in order for us to appreciate how HaKadosh Baruch Hu really cares about us, and we're on the radar. And just like by davening, you know, we have a person, a kohel guy that takes attendance every morning, and by the shmuz they take attendance, and by nights they take attendance, and you know, and we think, okay, you know, he's more machmir than the Rebbein Shem. No, the Rebbein Shem also takes attendance. We had a gemara recently in the daf that says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to a shul in the morning and he doesn't find a minion, miyad kayes, he gets very upset. And the pasuk says, madua basi ve'ein ish. How come I'm coming here and there's no one here? I came to shul expecting to see a minion. There wasn't a minion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it bothers him if there's no minion. And it bothers him if there are people, if the minion is probably a lot less than it should be. So if we have supposedly 200, 250 guys in yeshiva, and at minyan at shachris we have maybe 100 guys. Where's 150 guys going? What happened? Where are they? Madua basi ve'enish. Where you know? Yeah, we have a minyan, but I don't care just about the from guys that come to daven. I care about all the guys in the dorm that missed davening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares. It matters to him. And when we speak Lashon Hara, it does matter to him. And when we look at things that we're not supposed to, it matters. When we're Batal Zman, it matters. When we're Mechabit our parents, it matters. When we're not Mechabit our parents, it matters. Everything is real. It's a real, these things are real. It's not make-believe. And because during the year we tend to forget about that, or we gloss over it because it's too much pressure to think this way. We don't want to be that important. We'd rather be sometimes specks of dust that we're able to do what we want when we want it without all of the guilt and without all the conscience that goes with this vad. But Seder night comes around and we get another injection of emunah and bitachin that the Rebbein Shalom exists and that the Rebbein Shalom watches us, he cares about us, and not just us as a nation as a whole, but every single individual in the nation. And every little yid that was affected by the Mitzrayim, the Mitzri got, throughout all the makas and Mitzrayim, they got all their revenge, that all the comeuppance that was due them, they received, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping score, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. And the same way he knows that, the takeaway of the child as he's going to sleep that night is that, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really cares about me. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that special animal that was able to pick the lock so that the Ari could come into the house and eat the Mitzri, that means that everything is by exact divine providence and orchestration and control, and he cares about every yid, and if that's true, then we're all very special to him. And that's the main thing, says Rav Pinkus, that we should be getting out of this night, and we should be giving to this on this night to our children. Lama ki ichpaslai. Zoyi mohos hayehudi, kan hu maskel v'kan hu gamer. This is where it starts, this is where it ends, and that's what a yid is. A yid is somebody that believes this, what we just said. Not rolls their eyes and doesn't believe it and doesn't want to believe it. But if you're a real card-carrying Shemir Torah Mitzvos, you believe in Ashkacha Pratis, you believe that everything that we do is noted, and there's Schar V'Einish for everything, and the Rebbein Shalom really does care, and all of this, like every other Prat in Emunah B'Tachin, is really modeled through Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kol Mitzvos HaLaila Hazeh, Milamdei Soysanu Echlis Kashem Rebbein Shalom, all the Mitzvos of the night teach us how to connect to the Rebbein Shalom, Mukumosh B'Nisuin, HaKesher Bein HaIsh VaIsha Noitz HaYidei Tabas HaYidei Chupa. Just like by a marriage, the relationship, the connection, the commitment of a man and a wife is created through giving a ring and chupa. Kach B'Lel HaSeder Yesh Lanu Matzah U'Maror V'Oy Dvarim Shen Yonim Echad. We have matzah, maror, other things, and they're all, the theme of all of them is Litvais Es HaGadlos HaZais Ladas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kar Ve'Leinu V'Chbes Loi Me'itanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us, he loves us, he cares about us, it bothers him when we're in trouble. Our tzaras, when we dive into the Rebbein Shalom and we say Shema Kaleinu or Baruch Aleinu or whatever, Rifa'enu, all these tefillas, and we're crying and we're wondering, does the Rebbe Hashem really care? I mean, obviously I care because it's a problem that I'm having. Somebody's not feeling well. Somebody needs parnasa. Somebody needs Yeshua of some sort. For me, it's important. Does the Rebbe Hashem cry with me? The answer is yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is probably more concerned about the situation than we are. Not probably, he is. And all of this is the important legacy of Seder Night. The Eskol Zalin and Limsel Yeladein, and all of this we have to give over to our children. If we have a successful Seder Night, that means that our child walks away empowered by this knowledge that there is a God in the world, and that he didn't only create the world, he runs the world, and he runs the world in a way that's very meduktuk. He runs the world with exactitude. Every little thing that happens is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine orchestration. V'heim li'iladehem, and if you do the you do it the right way, and you give it over, the Messiah on Seder Night, to your children, in a very strong and powerful and impactful way, what's going to happen? When your children have children of their own, then that momentum that you gave them will carry over, and like a wave, it'll crash onto the next generation, and to the next generation. And if you think that, well, you know, I don't know if that's possible. Well, look, we're still here. We still get a Messiah. That started all the way back from the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's still going strong. And so that is the job of a parent on Seder Night. And I might be the only parent in the room currently, but you'll all be parents in Mitzvah Hashem very... When I say very soon, I don't mean tomorrow, but Yeshmacher Mamash, Yeshmacher Lacher Zman, it's, you know, within, let's say, a window of 5 to 10 years, you'll be parents and you'll be giving over a Messiah to your children. It's hard to believe, right? When you're a Bachar, you don't think about these things, maybe, but that's the way it is. That's just the reality. And so you have to bookmark this tonight's Vod in your head to know what's the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim. When I'm giving over this Messiah to my child, in whichever entertaining way you do, whatever the minig of your family is, if you throw around ping pong balls or frogs, or you know, you dress up, or you carry a, you know, a pillowcase with gold and silver inside of it, and you role play Yetzias Mitzrayim, whatever it is, what's the takeaway? That you're a good actor, and that people had a good laugh, or they had a good time, or they were, what's the point? The point of the whole night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, says Reb Pinkus, is to understand that the Rebbeinu Shlom runs the world, and he really does care. He cares. And he cares about the Yachid. You know, there's one of the most powerful varts on Siddur is found in Rav Schwab on Prayer, or Iyun Tefillah, as it's called in Hebrew. And there he says that his Rebbe, Reb Shlomo Zalman Breuer, Reb Shlomo Breuer was a father of Reb Yosef Breuer. Reb Yosef Breuer was the Rav, the founding Rav of Kaladas Yishur in Washington Heights, the famous Yekesha Shul. And he was a tremendous guy in learning, and he was a very very important leader in Klal Yisrael during his tkufa. He was the son of Reb Shlomo Breuer, who was a Rav in Frankfurt, Germany. And Rav Shlomo Breuer was the son-in-law of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. So Rav Breuer from Washington Heights was really a grandson of Rav Hirsch, and he was the bearer of the Hirschian legacy, because the whole Breuer Shul is really a continuation of the famous Kehilla in Frankfurt am Main. So Rav Schwab went to yeshiva as a little boy in Frankfurt, in Germany. That's where he grew up. And he was a Talmud of Reb Shlomo Breuer. In fact, there's an interesting picture that I have of a class that Reb Shlomo Breuer is like the Rebbe. And you see a young Reb Shimon Schwab amongst maybe 30, 40 children. You see him there. So he said that his Rebbe, Reb Shlomo Breuer, once said to him, or to the class, that he went to a certain Knesia, one of these big conventions that Gedolim of all across Europe came to.
What was that?
I don't know if it was that one. But one of them. And there were a number of Knesia Gedolos, you know, throughout those years. That was the first. So, but there were others. And Rav Shlomo Breuer bumps into Rav Shimon Sofer. Who is Rav Shimon Sofer? Rav Shimon Sofer was one of the sons of the Chasam Sofer. He was the Rav in Krakow. Perhaps the more famous son of the Chasam Sofer was the Ksav Sofer, who took over in Preshburg for his father. But another brilliant Talmud Chacham that the Chasam Sofer had as a son was Rav Shimon Sofer, who was the Krakow Rav. He was the Rav of Krakow. And so Rav Shimon Sofer bumps into Rav Shlomo Breuer at this convention, and he says to him, "No, you're a son-in-law of Rav Hirsch. So tell me, the whole Welt is tumbling about Rav Hirsch. Tell me a good Vart from your Shver. Tell me one like real, you know, good Vart from your father-in-law." So there's many. I mean, you know, Rav Shamshon Rav Hirsch has thousands of beautiful pieces throughout all of his works, but the one that the Rav Shlomo Breuer chose of all of them was something from Adayin Olam at the beginning of davening. So he says everybody makes a big deal about Adayin Olam. What's the takeaway of Adayin Olam? It's obviously a very special tefillah. It's a piyut that we say in the morning. Some people say it at the end of davening on Shabbos and Yantif. You say it in Kriyas Shema Lamita, many people. You say it a lot. It's not clear who the author of Adayin Olam is. Some say that it's Rav Shlomo Ibn Gabiro, the famous Spanish poet, but it's not exactly clear if that's true or not. But in any event, Adayin Olam is obviously, perhaps it's arguably the most famous piyut that we have. So what's the knack? What's the major takeaway from Adayin Olam? Why is it so special? So if you examine it, says Rav Hirsch, and this is a vart that blew Rav Shimon Sofer away. He was like so impressed with this vart. You could really break up Adayin Olam into two different parts. The first part speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a global God, let's call it. Adayin Olam asher malach b'tam kol yitzir nivra. You have to be careful where to put the commas. The song is completely wrong, and it's very dangerous if you touch up these words based on where the song puts the comma in. But it's not b'terem kol kama yitzir nivra. That's kfira. It's basically b'terem kol yitzir nivra. Before any creature was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the king. Le'es nasa b'chefzakol azay mel shmeniker. When Adam was created, when the world was created, then he was officially, formally called a king, but he was really a king even before that. He was a king before the world was created, but then he was called a king. And after the world like ceases to exist, he will again rule by himself. He was and he is and he will be in his glory. He's one. There's no other. There's no second place to God. He's alone. He's in a league of his own. And he's unique and he's one. There's no one to compare it with which to compare him to in any which way. There's nothing before him. And he has the power. He has the might. He has the authority. Okay, that's basically the first part of the piyut, which basically speaks about the Rebbeinu Shlomo as a global HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was here before the world was created. He's going to be here after the world no longer exists. He was, he is, he will. These are all these sayings of Emunah, but about what? About HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the cosmic God of the world, of Bria, of the Creator, everything. But now look at the segue. It goes from that, and it switches gears right in the middle. V'hu Keli. He is my God. Now we're not speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a global God anymore. Now we're speaking about the Rebbeinu Shlomo as a personal God. V'ukeili, he's my God. V'chai Gayali, he's my Redeemer. V'tzur Chevli, and he's the rock of my burdens, Beis Sar, when things are hard for me. He's my own personal refuge when I call out to him. And in his hands do I give as a pikadon. I entrust my soul to him, my spirit. When I go to sleep, when I wake up. When I have to die, when I basically give back my neshama, Hashem is my God, and I will not fear. Says Rav Sham Shofal Hirsch, as quoted as by Rav Shlomo Breuer, and we have the Masorah from Rav Schwab, that this is the mile of Adayin Olam, because the greatest yisoid that we could take from Yadus, and at the beginning of davening, the end of davening, before we go to sleep, the thing that we have to really drill into our brains is this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everybody knows as the global God, the Yid believes that he's my personal God also. He cares about me. Goyim, not clear what they hold. Rav Dessler has a whole piece about how Goyim are different than Yidden. Goyim basically believe that there's a God. Many Goyim do believe in a God. But they believe that God is up in the heavens. And he has no interest or no time even or no patience for what's going on down here. So he has intermediaries, and that's where, you know, the various Avodah Zarahs pop up, because they don't believe that God really could care about us. He's so busy with a global picture that he doesn't care about you and me. He's too great. He's too grandiose. He's too up there in the skies. He doesn't have time for us. He doesn't have interest in us. So that's why we bow down to a chalila, to a sun, to a moon, to a piece of wood, to a statue, to a, you know, we create other prophets, we create different types of shutfim to the Rabbanu Shlem, chalila v'chas. That's what all the religions do. Why do they do that? Because they don't believe that it's possible for us to have a personal connection with the Rabbanu Shlem. To them, that's just unfathomable. It's unfathomable. But a Yid believes this. This is what separates a Yid from all the other faiths. The other faiths do not believe this. And they believe that even if there is someone that could have a connection, it's not the Hamayinam. It's like the, you know, the priests and the clergy and the monks and the big guys. They're the ones that could maybe have a communication with the Rabbanu Shlom. But we have to just we could live regular lives and we'll shtaltzu to our leaders and let them do all the reading, let them do all the studying, the scholarship and the praying and on a regular basis, and we could just basically live like regular people, laymen, because we don't have that connection to them. But a Yid believes that every single Yid, you could be the Gadol Hadar and you could be the simplest shoemaker, and every single person opens up the same Siddur, the same Tilam, learns the same Daf Gemara, the same Pasuk Chumash, the same Rashi. And through that, we're able to establish a close connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the Yisayit of Adayin Olam. That's the Yisayit of Seder Night. That's the Yisayit of being a Yid. That the same global God, that's Adayin Olam, Asher Malach, B'Tam Kol Yitzinra, how does he care about me? Does he even know who I am? So a guy would say, no, he doesn't. So live your life, do whatever you want, and you know, everything will be good. It's fine. No, nobody cares. Nobody's watching you. But we don't believe that. We believe that not only is somebody watching us, it's the Rabbeinu Shlom himself that's watching us. The Rabbeinu Shlom himself has a real direct care and concern for every single one of us. From old to young, from right wing to left wing, from Shomer Shabbos to Mechalel Shabbos, doesn't matter. He cares about us. He knows about us. He's concerned with us. And that's that's the biggest yisai that we could give over to our children. But not only to our children, we don't have to wait 5-10 years to have that Seder night. It's this year's Seder night that we have to give it over to the child inside of us. We all have children inside of us that still have these questions and that sometimes plague us. And Seder night's a night to take out this Reb Pinkas piece and just drill it into ourselves. Forget our children. Our children will worry about when we have them, but we have to get these hashkafas clear today so that when we have children, we'll be able to really believe it, because they could smell right away whether you believe it or not. If you believe it, they know it. And if you don't believe it, they know it also. So we have our homework until we have children, even after we have children, we have to really every year, Chazer this Yisrael, and every day and every night, Adon Olam, V'ukeli v'chai gayali. He's our personal God. He cares. And if he cares about me, that means he cares about my Maida'ani, he cares about my kashrus, he cares about my learning, he cares about my bittul tairi, he cares about my lashon hara, he cares about what I'm watching and what I'm listening to and where I'm going and where I'm not going. He cares. He does care. He has a real... It's like funny even to speak about because it's so... You know, it's hard to imagine that, but he does. He does care. And... if we could really understand that, then obviously we'll have Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim comes from the fear of knowing that there's a God. The fear, every time we start a Shemini Esrei, we have to think that we're what? Oymed lefnei melech. Now, if you think that the melech is just some, you know, pie in the sky, then it doesn't really have meaning. But if you think that there's a close personal relationship that you have with the Rabbi Shimon, you feel that, so then Shemini Esrei means something. When you're standing before the Rebbe Yisrael, you're standing before a real being that cares about you and that knows you and that you should be developing your love and knowledge about him. Okay.